I like to start out at Christmas time. I like Christmas quotes. I gave you a whole bunch of them last week. I want to give you a couple today. This is from Alexander Smith. Is it Christmas Day is the day that holds all time together? That's kind of a thought, isn't it? C.S. Lewis says, once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our world. That's a good crowding thought. Our God is the God of the unexpected. How many of you could amen that? Few things could be more unexpected than the King of Heaven being born in a stable. Peter Abelard says, I think the purpose and cause of the incarnation, that's Jesus coming in the flesh, was that God might illuminate the whole world by his wisdom and excite it to love himself. I like that. John Blanchard says, the Son of God became the Son of Man in order that the Son of Man might become the sons of God. And I don't know how many of you might know who Frank Laubach is. How many know, it's not a big deal. How many know who Frank Laubach is? Yeah, great. Nobody, that's wonderful. I mean, really, he's kind of an unknown. If you pick up a book, if you find something in a used bookstore that's Frank Laubach, just get it. Frank Laubach was one of the early pray forever, pray always, pray consistently guys. Just amazing stuff. And he had a goal that he would never go more than 2 minutes without thinking about the Lord. And he lived by that. Pretty amazing. He says, when compassion for the common man was born on Christmas Day, Jesus, with it was born new hope among the multitudes. I think that's awesome. That what we talked about last week about nativity being a new beginning, new Genesis, new life, new day. And when Jesus came in, man, joy to the world. Why? Because hope now wasn't just a possibility, it was a promise. And there are a lot of people that you know, even at this time of the year, don't have a lot of hope. And we are the source, because he's the source, and we can give it away. So I'm going to read you a verse that's not on your refrigerator. If it is, I'll give you a $20 bill. Or Wes will. you want to see if he's paying attention? This is 1 Chronicles 28:9. I doubt this is on anybody's refrigerator. And you might not think of this as a Christmas verse, but I really think it is. It says, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal, blameless heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Isn't that a great verse? Might end up on your refrigerator now. I suggest New American Standard, but not the refrigerator, the verse. This idea of, well, you know, wise men are coming, they're trying to find him. You know, we have songs and hymns and all about that. He's saying, I'm here for you so you can be a finder. You can find me. He's not here to chase you down. He's here to pursue us so we can, in our pursuit of him, discover his pursuit of us. And that really is how it works. So he has come for us, but he hasn't come after us. Some people think God's mad at them. And if you were God and you're looking down here at what everybody was doing on the earth, you know, you can see how you might be a little ticked off. But he sees beyond that. So his motive is to search and understand, not search and destroy. And there's a lot of religious push out there that's a little more into the search and destroy God than the search and understand God. But we only have one, and he's the one who searches and understands. He knows what we're like. What a, please, Lord, don't let me have to know that. I don't want to know what everybody's like, because they might be like me, and I can only handle one, if you know what I mean. So he's come for our rescue, not our ruin. And some people think, you know, God's up there with that cosmic fly swatter just ready to pop you when you do something wrong. That's not real. But it is real for some people. He's come for our redemption, not for revenge because you did something evil or wrong. He's come to bring revelation, not retaliation. You got to understand who he is. We have to understand what he's like, because you can't find him as he is if you don't know what he's like. So he's come so that we can find him. Now, we all know all our stuff. Everybody has stuff. Actually, George Carlin has a great line about that that I can't repeat. But we all have our stuff, and a lot of it. And after, And on the 26th, we'll all have more stuff. And it doesn't mean it's not good or valuable, but we all have our stuff, our ways, whether good or bad. The Lord knows all of them. But darkness and light are the same to him. Have you ever thought about that? Darkness and light are the same to him. Consequently, if you do it in the light or you do it in the dark, it doesn't make any difference. He sees into it and through all of it. He even understands the motive with which you did it. So, that's why it says Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And the word truth is the same word for reality. God is really real. And you can afford to be really real with him, because he has absolutely no doubt about being able to be real with you. And reality means truth. So our greatest success, our darkest secrets, our biggest victory, our deepest shame, our finest hour, our most vile imagination, he knows them all, and he loves you anyway. So ladies, if you're looking for a guy to marry, get one like that, who knows all the stuff, not fooled by anything, but sees the reality, sees the potential, sees the hope that he's already planted in your heart and the destiny that he has for you, and loves you into it. That's what God is really like. And so, I don't know how you picture God. Some people picture God sitting on the throne, you know, gold and, you know, smoke and stuff going on, elders bowing and all that kind of stuff. I'm just not smart enough to do that. When I think of him, I think of him as, you are who you say you are, and I appreciate it all. But I don't get a picture in my mind so much of what he's like. There's just this thing of knowing who he is, you know? But there's this anchored sense of he is who he says he is. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He is, as we sang, he's everything. And if you perceive him like that, you're much more likely to find him like that. But if you think he's the scorekeeper up there, aha, Brown messed up again. I'll have to go back to the cross and die again because he sinned again. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. But a lot of people think that is how it works. I had a friend, I think I can squeeze this in. I am squeezing it in. I told you this story, I think, once before, but my mom, when I was a little kid, would send me to the grocery store to get whatever was on her list. And then I was never to forget to get the green stamps that go with the purchase. And you would get S&H green stamps. Anybody, ask your grandparents. Trust me, it was a reality. And the green stamps means if you got like 800 books of them, you could get like a washcloth or something. You know, or maybe a promissory note to someday get a washcloth. My mom saved those things and got dishes and all sorts of stuff like that. So I knew what that meant, and she would paste those things into the books, and when you get enough books, then you would send them or take them to the redemption center, and you didn't get redeemed, but you got your washcloth or whatever. And so I knew a little bit about that, and I had a guy that I worked with, and we had a flat tire. He had a brand new Chrysler, big Imperial, and like the first drive out, he had a flat tire. And we got out of the car, and he described that flat tire to me in language that a good boy shouldn't use. And he was a Christian, good guy. And he blits and frets and rots and beats you about this tire. And we got the other tire out of the trunk. That's when they had real spare tires. And we were going to change the tire. Of course, we're both wearing suits and ties. This is a great deal. And he's describing that as well. And we got back in the car. I said, oh, man, I just put a whole lot of black stamps in my book. And I said, no, man, they're green. And I don't think they come with flat tires. And he said, no, we don't understand. Every time you say something wrong, do something bad, God puts a black stamp in your book. And I just said, oh, that's what I said. I said, no, it's not. You know what it says in the book? What? I said, it says those books of black stamps are nailed on a cross. That's what it says. That's what it says. He took all these things against us and pow, nothing. You can't keep score. In any relationship, you keep score, it's bound to fail. Amen. He doesn't do that. He conquered it once and for all. So if you or someone that you're praying for has a mindset that the Lord's putting black stamps in the book, you got to rip that out of your thinking and help them get it out of theirs, because that's not what he's like. That's why people are thinking, well, if I can just, I got drunk Tuesday and I shouldn't have done this on Thursday, but I put $5 in the bucket at Salvation Army, so maybe I balanced it out. Good luck. Good luck with that, because you got an enemy out there who'll say, it's never enough, it's never enough, it's never enough. It's never enough. And you didn't mean it, you didn't mean it, you didn't mean it. And then when you mess up, not on a cross, and he's not in a cradle, he's everywhere we are. And if you'll do business with him, he's right here.
That's right.
Right here. As Watchman Nee would say, resident boss. I really liked it. Amen. The boys are my buddies. They come and see me on Wednesday night. I wish I had that much life in me. Okay, I'm going to Christmasize what we're talking about just a little bit. Luke chapter 2. Starting with verse 21. When 8 days had passed before his circumcision, Jesus, his name was then called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's Luke 1:31, if you want to know where it is. And when the days for purification came, it's 40 days, according to the law of Moses, when they were completed, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, and in this case, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's Leviticus 12:8 if you want the verses. And there was a man in Jerusalem. Well, you know what? There were a lot of men in Jerusalem, but we're not talking about all of them. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. I don't know about you, but if my name was in the Bible and I was described as righteous and devout, I'd think maybe I was. Well, he was. Wasn't perfect, but he was righteous and devout. And this was not a youngster. I mean, this is a guy like older than me. So he was very old and very righteous and very devout. Looking for the redemption or the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. You can just walk right by that. I can't walk right by that. It says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now you have to realize at this point, no death, burial, resurrection yet. So he wasn't in him. The only person that was in John the Baptist is the only one that way, born the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was upon him. There was evidence that the presence of God was on the man's life. And when I read that this time, it's not the first time I ever read Luke 2, but when I read that the first time, last week, I thought, I want to see some Simeons walking around where the Spirit of God is upon them. So the first thing I thought of was Revelation chapter 1. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Same verbiage. So I looked at that, and different versions say it different ways, but in Luke 2, when talking about Simeon, it says, he came in the Spirit. That revised version says, he came inspired by the Spirit. Modern English says, he was led by the Spirit. 20th century New Testament says, he came moved by the Spirit. Taylor says, the Holy Spirit impelled him to come to the temple. If you look at John, In the book of Revelation 1:10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. 20th century New Testament says, I fell into a trance. Beck says, I came under the power of the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I found myself, Moffat says, wrapped, R-A-P-T, not W-R-A-P-P-E-D, wrapped in the Spirit, inspired by the Spirit. Weymouth says, William says, I was in the Spirit's power. So I became spiritually possessed, Berkeley says. And it was, Taylor says, it was Sunday and I was worshiping. Amplified says, I was in the Spirit, wrapped in His power. Wrapped in His power. Wrapped means enraptured, taken away. And even in the older dictionaries, you find something that says taken away to heaven. In the Spirit, in joy, in love, in peace, in whatever it was that they were experiencing. Wrapped in the Spirit, carried away in heavenly stuff. Love, joy, peace, wisdom. And you know the result in both cases? You know what happens as soon as he says, I'm wrapped in the Spirit? Revelation and prophecy come forth in both cases. In Revelation chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 2. We'll go back to Luke chapter 2, but I want you to see it. Something had happened to him. He was already known as being righteous and devout, but in the present tense, when he gets into the presence of Jesus, he says, I was like, oh my gosh, taken up. I was like this. In the Spirit. So he was righteous and devout, and he was looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. That's a heavy one to take, isn't it? You know, Anna, we know Anna somewhere between like 85 and 100. She's coming up here in a minute. These guys were kind of partners, so he's no kid. You know how many mornings he got up and said, well, is this going to be the day? And he still was righteous and devout. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to carry him to the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing the bondservant to depart in peace. In other words, I can go now. I have seen the fulfillment, the completion of what you said. It says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, looking at the baby. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. He's prophesying. And his father and his mother were amazed at the things that were being said about him. They hadn't quite got it all yet. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. And there was a prophetess, now Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, from the tribe of Asher. And this is an amazing lady. She's advanced in years. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow up to the age of 84. And she has never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him, Jesus, to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem and Israel. If you were longing, if you were looking, she could tell it and she'd say, this is the one. This is the one. He's here. This is the Messiah. You might not recognize him, but I'm telling you, this is it. It's really interesting. Anna's name means gracious, and Simeon's name means gracious hearing. She's known as a prophetess. I'd have to say he's known as a prophet. This is the atmosphere. This is Christmas. This is bringing Jesus into the temple. It's fulfillment. He has come for us. Why? So we could find him. Anna had waited decades and decades and decades and she found him. Simeon had waited decades and decades and decades and he found him. Now, their salvation wasn't like ours in the sense of being born again, but they heard the Lord. They believed the Lord. They received from him. And they knew that he searches all the hearts. And he understands what's in everybody's heart. He understands what's in everybody's heart, and he wants everybody's heart anyway. So you can find him for the first time. You can find him returning to him, if that's where you find yourself. Or you can find him on that path where there's the next thing that's deeper, richer, fuller. The next thing that leads you further into your destiny. But finding him is what he's here for. And I think that's one of the things Christmas season should be all about, finding him in that fresh way, that new day, that new way, that new beginning. The Amplified says it in a little different way, but I love the way that it says it, because they always add just a little bit to it. And he says, if you know him, desiring him, requiring him as your first option, that's my word, option, you're going to find him that way. Sometimes we don't find him the way we want to because we have cluttered the way we look for him. And you need to clear the runway or permit him to clear the runway. Because when he comes in fullness. He comes in power. He comes in life. I'm going to pray for us in just a minute, but I heard a couple of things this morning when I was journaling. This is how we're going to end it, and then we're going to bring the worship team back up, and they're going to sing us out today. But I said, Lord, how would you speak to me this morning? I said, we call Harmony a healing place. How would you come and express healing today? And he said, someone has stuck their neck out for someone. You ever do that? Make a recommendation, make it a trustworthy thing, tell somebody something about somebody, and then you hope to God it was true. Someone has stuck their neck out for someone financially or relationally, or that also could mean they stuck their neck out and now their neck hurts physically. But it also means someone has taken a risk. And I feel like the Lord is saying, I'm counting that risk as a step of faith, and I'll be faithful to the risk taker, even if the other person is not faithful to them. If that's you, we want to pray for you in a minute. Someone else needs an answer, and they need an answer urgently, like in breakneck speed. And I felt like the Lord said, I don't travel at breakneck speed. I travel at a healing rate, a redemptive pace. My eye is on a different finish line than yours. I come to complete and accomplish, not just to appear. But I do come, and I often come suddenly. So if you need something urgently, if this is like deadline thing for you, the thing to do is give yourself to him. Recognize he sees the finish line, even if it's not the one you see. I was really surprised when you said that somebody stuck their neck out, but I see it. Somebody trusting, maybe somebody making a recommendation, maybe somebody granting a privilege or something, and now you're just really not sure if that's going to work. But you're doing it because you believe, you have hope. And I honestly believe the Lord says, I'm going to take care of you in so doing. You don't have to worry about how, but you've stuck your neck out and you've done it as faith, and he said, I reward that. And so whether or not the other person comes through with their situation, I just want to say the Lord's got your back. And if somehow it's accompanied you to have pain in your neck, I'd put my hand on your neck if I were you. Say, Lord, come and make the adjustment, the alignment that's necessary. Whether that's literal and physical or just figurative, we ask for you to do that. We ask for you to do that, Lord. And then, Lord, I pray for people with urgent need, saying this has got to happen. Something's got to happen today. It really needed to happen yesterday. Lord, you understand urgently more than anybody. Holy Spirit, I'm asking for you to come with that healing touch that brings fullness even before completeness. That there's he's got this. There is an answer. And the answer isn't just from you, the answer is you. people would find you as the answer today to that immediate, urgent thing that's ticking in their chest. Lord, the word says that if we seek you fully, firstly, that we will find you. And for anyone here who hasn't made a commitment to you, I pray that if they're here to find you for the first time, all they must say is, yes, come in, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there are people who say it's Christmas time, all year I've been going to do something to come back to the Lord and I haven't done it, Lord, I pray that you'd put a yes in their heart so that they can speak it to you. And they would find themselves back in touch with you in a way that's superbly satisfying. And that kicks out the stuff, vacates the junk, so you have room to be fully you. And now, Lord, I know there are people who are walking with you, maybe never walked this close to you before. I ask for you to empower the next steps. We make room for you, Lord. We ask for you to fulfill your words this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.